This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food. And of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. St. John's Institution and Victoria Institution are two of the oldest schools in KL. Both were conferred National Heritage status by the government under the National Heritage Act. But how many of us are aware of both schools' history and their century-old rivalry? The inaugural installment in Badan Warisan Malaysia's Cool Story series will be featuring a heritage battle between Johanian old boy Datuk Zahim Al-Bakri and VI old boy Chako Vadaketh. Both gentlemen are here in the studio with me today to share their school day memories as well as make the case for their school's superiority. Let's start with this. Chako, this event is billed as a heritage battle. Let's get straight to the point. How is VI better than St. John's?
Where do I start? I think it's very obvious. You obviously don't know the two schools. And it's very obvious. Well, VI was founded earlier in terms of heritage. And since it's a Badan Warisan thing, I think the focus would be its built heritage. The buildings are very imposing. It was, in fact, the Japanese administrative center during the occupation. And the surrender of the Japanese is actually done there. So it just speaks volumes about what an imposing, important building it is. And most recently, it was featured in Ola Bola. Beautiful backdrop, and the VI playing fields are where the soccer team trained at.
Dato, do you want to respond to that?
Well, we're talking about built heritage. I think we're starting the battle here already. We're talking about built heritage. Actually, the St. John's Institution School, the building, is much older than VI. Because VI started at another group of buildings in KL and then they moved to their present quarter. So that in terms of built heritage, St. John's is far older than VI.
Having said that, VI was recognized as a National Heritage Site on February 14, 2009. St. John's was gazetted a year later on May 21st, 2010. Is that a point to VI that they got there a year earlier?
Of course.
That might be because the minister was an ex-VI. It's a VI.
Did I mention our important alumni?
So when did the rivalry between these two schools even begin? I mean, how did this start? How did we come to be sitting in this room with the two of you, you know, kind of sniping at each other over who started first?
It's funny because I think it starts when you go to St. John's Institute, the secondary school, because VI doesn't have a primary school. So when you get there, it's almost like it's some sort of tradition that's been sort of there. I think it's because both schools are in KL. Both schools are the older schools in KL, although there are some older schools.
Yeah, it's through there. You know,
I guess it's through sports. It's through academic records.
Is it something that just gets built into you? You know, when you start school, you just know that, like, you know, how does school spirit get indoctrinated into you? Because I think a lot of us will have attended high schools here in Malaysia and not come out feeling as strongly about our schools as people do when they come out of VI or St. John's.
It's a long history of tradition and practices. And, you know, I think VI was fortunate that its first headmaster was B.E. Shaw. And actually Jalan Hang Tua, where VI is located, was known as Jalan Shaw or Shaw Road before. And he was there for 28 years. And I think he started this tradition of that people had to be all-rounders. And you had to play sports and you had to do social work and as well as excel in academia. So I think that created the sort of the VI philosophy, and the Victorian was somebody that was initially envisaged by B.E. Shaw.
Would you say, how did this rivalry manifest itself in student life? I mean, in day-to-day living, did you guys, you know, run into each other at the bus stop and start shouting names, that kind of thing?
Not really. Actually, VI and St. John's is geographically are quite separate, but St. John's does have the convent book at Nanas, which is very close to us. And I think historically there's also some rivalry over I think the VI boys were a bit jealous that the St. John's boys were so close to CBN.
But I think VI and BBGS have always been sort of connected, as and St. John's and CBN. And I think a lot of the girls, we have girls in the sixth form and both schools, so we have a lot of BBGS girls coming in, and you guys have a lot of CBN girls.
And St. Mary's and BBGS and other schools. Mm-hmm.
How did you both end up enrolling in SGI and VI respectively? How did that come about?
It's funny, actually. I was, my brother was, my brother's was at VI. And so in the family, there's, in my family, there's sort of
already the rivalry.
Yeah. And, but my family lived in Klang. And I was in a completely different school. I was at that Anglo-Chinese school in Klang. And until standard three. And then when my brother actually got a place at VI earlier. So he moved to KL and stayed with my grandparents and went to VI. And I think because VI didn't have a primary school, they had feeder schools. My parents just, St. John's was considered to be the school.
Well,
at the
you
time.
Have to be selected to enter VI, you know, it only takes the best. So.
Not anymore.
Is that what got you in, Chaco? Is that how you got into VI?
Well, yeah, we had feeder schools. So I was at Batu Road School. I did my primary in garden school. So my mother's, she's now Malaysian, but she was an Indian citizen then, so I was able to go to an international school. And then I think my parents decided probably I should stay on. So then I got to Batu Road School because it was a feeder school to VI, and then from there into VI. Yeah.
VI is modeled after Raffles Institution in Singapore, founded August 14th, 1893, named after Queen Victoria of the UK. Can you tell us more about the circumstances of VI's founding?
Sure. Well, it was felt in the late, I suppose, the 1890s or 1880s that Kuala Lumpur should have a good English medium school. They were going to need people who are English educated to run the civil service and so on. So there was Kapitan China at the time, was Yap Kuan Seng. He was the fifth Kapitan China. There was Lok Yew and Thambusami Pillay, and they decided that they would start the school, and they put in $1,000 at the time, which at the time was a lot of money. And the resident was Treacher, and he was very supportive, and so he put in money as well. But then they needed more money, and then Treacher discovered that there was, you know, money raised for the Queen Victoria Jubilee, and there was some $3,000 left. So he decided that money could be used for the VI. So that formed a nucleus. And then there were other donations that came in. So they managed to raise something like $21,000, which they then felt was enough to found a school.
And in turn, SJI was founded on January 18, 1904, named after St. John Baptist de La Salle. Can you tell us more about the person and circumstances surrounding the school's founding?
Well, actually, the tradition of St. John's is a La Salle Brothers school, and that La Salle Brothers had been in existence for more than 200 years at the time. In fact, the interesting thing is that the La Salle Brothers started, Jean-Baptiste de La Salle was from France and from a quite wealthy family, but he actually was ordained a priest and later actually gave up the wealth that he inherited to start the La Salle Brothers. And they decided it was very much about educating anyone who want, you know, needed to be educated, the poor, and because I think in the time you could only be educated if you had money. So one of the tenets of the La Salle Brothers was to provide education for whoever needed it. So with the St. John's Institution, actually there was a La Salle Brothers school already in Penang, St. Xavier's, which was actually much, much earlier than both schools, which was in 1852. I think KL was a little kampong at that point, you know, it was just discovered. But it grew very rapidly, and I think at the same time with Victoria Institution, there was still a lack of
schools.
In KL. So I think it was on the Bishop of Malacca, Monsignor Fee, who wrote to France and suggested that the La Salle Brothers opened a school in KL. And it started at Bukit Nanas around what is now Fatima Kindergarten, that was the actual Catholic church at Bukit Nanas. And it started, they built a two-story building to begin with, a wooden one, and then it was the classes were held in shacks. They must have been people, I think KL must have been growing so fast, because I think we both schools, if you look at the numbers, you know, they started with like 40 students, and within 6 months it was like 100, and you know, it just grew very rapidly, both schools.
A lay principal was appointed in 2002, the first in the school's then 98-year history, after the last brother director retired. And in 2014, the first non-Christian lay principal was appointed. Is this a gradual move away from the LaSallian tradition?
Yes, it seems. And over the years, it has changed. I think the governments, they can, the Ministry of Education has taken more control over the running of the schools, although St. John's still has a board of governors. And the brothers are still involved in the decision-making of the school because the school is actually owned by the brothers, partly owned by the brothers.
And the school's motto is faith and zeal. How central is religion to the education of past and present Johannians? How did it factor in?
Well, I mean, they weren't trying to convert anybody.
Yes.
You know? But I think with the brothers, part of their philosophy is the belief in God. And I think... you know, they never stopped any other religion. As we had Islamic classes for the Muslim students at the school, and I think they didn't have the Christian classes. The Catholic boys would actually have classes after school.
I'm speaking today with Dato' Zahim Al-Bakri, Johannian old boy, and Chaco Vadaketh, Victorian old boy, because we're talking about St. John's Institution versus Victoria Institution. Things got heated earlier. It's cooled down a little bit. Up next, we find out about how much VI today resembles its original incarnation. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Tree Lin. In the studio with me, Dato' Zahim Al-Bakri, Johannian old boy, and Chaco Vadaketh, Victorian old boy, because we're talking about a heritage battle between St. John's Institution versus Victoria Institution. Chaco, VI is one of the oldest English schools around. It's also a secular school. How much does the VI today resemble its original incarnation?
Well, I think both Zahim and I paid visits to our alma maters. We went together to take photographs and things. And I must confess, I was very disappointed at the state of VI today. Especially the buildings are not really well maintained. There was paint peeling. I found some windows were broken. I think one of the traditions in VI was the quadrangle. We had to line up in the morning and it'd line up after recess to go in. And I think that was part of our discipline. And today it's a car park, you know, so, and apparently the boys don't line up and so on. And I think that is, and it seemed symptomatic that we went in our day, and I think even as recently as 10 years ago, boys were saying the school has amazing brass hinges, all the doors, and they were always polished. You could see your face in them. And it's one of the things that happened to you when you, if you're in detention or whatever, you're sitting and polishing the hinges. And today the hinges are just gray from neglect or even painted over. And that was really quite heartbreaking for me to see.
Going back to your time in high school, what are some of, you know, both of your fond memories from spending time in your schools?
Actually, with St. John's, I'm actually, the reason that this battle came about with Baden Warrison is that I'm just the year before last I was elected onto the council of Baden Warrison. I think when I look back at what started my interest in heritage and being at school in a building like that is actually quite extraordinary. When you go every, you know, you turn up 5 days a week for classes and you're sitting in, and especially when I had classes in the old block, it really was quite special. I mean, they're much cooler than any other classrooms, that any modern classrooms. You know. Yeah, I remember sometimes being, you know, sometimes sitting in class being bored and actually just noticing the architecture. And that I remember very much. And St. John's is quite eclectic. It's got the old block, and then it's got these other blocks which have been added on. So, I mean, there's very different forms, different styles of architecture in the whole complex of buildings. And I remember in primary school, the primary school actually is another example of beautiful architecture, of 50s architecture, which is sometimes ignored as well. Because actually, like the Dewan Tun Dr. Ismail is a beautiful sort of building, actually.
Chaco, did you spend a lot of time polishing brass hinges?
Not that much time, actually, but I have had to polish a few hinges in my time. I think for me, it's the buildings that strike you first and the drive. I remember the first time I drove in or was driven in, you know, you enter the gate and there's this long driveway and the fields are on your left and then the school is up there on the hill with the clock tower. It really makes a huge impression on you and it's still, you know, an imposing sight. Although I think when I first went back after a few years, I said, oh gosh, it doesn't look quite so huge. It seemed massive at the time. But when you went back, it's still, you know, is an impressive school, the buildings. And as you say, you know, just being inside these beautiful buildings, solid, sturdy, and also the sense of history, you know, that the people who've gone before and have achieved great things, and, you know, from Sultan Hassan al-Bolkiah to Ananda Krishnan to Francis Yeo to Moktada Hari to the Siddiq brothers, you know, like...
You started the battle already, you know, you're preempting my vegan.
Well, so that's that, all these traditions, and, you know, so you have a lot to live up to as well. But I think what's lasted is the friendships that you make. And I think that had a kickstart. We, you know, we turned 50 very recently. suddenly we had a big gathering and we've got a WhatsApp chat group, which is just incessant because people are all over the world and different time zones. So that's going incessantly. But, you know, the friendship and the affection and support that you get from that and the love for the school is very, very evident.
That's what you attended, St. John's from 1976 to 1980, which was during a period of transition. It was sandwiched, you know, between the spectre of May 13 and a new prime minister. Did national politics ever suffuse campus life, or were you, you know, I guess like many other young students, kind of relatively oblivious to it?
I think I was the first year, which was Malay medium. You know, it's funny, in my family, my brother was English. Everything was in English. And my sister was half... she's the middle child, and she was half in Malay and half in English. And when I started school, it was the first year, I think 1970. I did notice that some of the teachers, especially the older ones who were, you know, reaching retirement age, just you could see that they weren't ready for it. They weren't embracing it. I think. In some cases, not all in every case, it depended on the individual teacher. But in some cases, yes, there was. I think the students did suffer somewhat because we didn't get the sort of teaching we would have got if it was in English or if the teacher was, you know, more proficient in Malay.
Chaco, was VI a place where, you know, political ideas were openly debated? Did you also experience kind of a similar thing?
I did, and I felt it very strongly because I'd been in a all-English medium, you know, international school, and then switching. Although we're the same age, because I was in the British system, I was a year ahead of Zahim. So I was in the last batch that did, like, maths and science in English and history, geography in Malay. But just switching from full English into half Malay was quite traumatic for me initially. So that was a big factor. But I think, you know, the teachers were very game, and they were trying very hard to, you know, switch between the two. And generally, you know, English was used a lot, so that helped me considerably. But I think something that struck me, maybe because I was in this international school and that's coming into it, is the Bhumiputra policy. And, you know, especially at Form 5, suddenly all these scholarships were available if you're Bhumiputra, but not if you're not. And that was something that I think that struck me as well.
Extracurricular activities were mandatory for all students at VI. What were your activities of choice?
I did some cross-country. I had to do some kind of sport. I was quite involved in the Horticultural Society. you know, English. I did extra classes in, like, English literature. It wasn't part of the curriculum. And we had a Mrs. David, who was this English lady married to a Malaysian Indian. And I think she instilled in me my passion for literature and theater and stuff. There wasn't much theater, and that was a great disappointment for me. Mm. And there was this tradition that you heard about that VI, you know, used to have amazing plays and things.
Yeah. It was the same with me in St. John's. I think they sort of must have thought it was a
relic of the British.
Yeah, I think so. So they sort of did away with it.
The decadent West.
And they weren't any Malay plays. They weren't enough.
What did you get up to at St. John's? Was it something that was very important, extracurricular activities?
It was actually, it's funny, because I was looking at my yearbook in the research, and I was more involved in primary school than I was in secondary school. I don't know why, actually. They didn't force you. There was no sort of, it was not mandatory. And it's funny because the school captain in the yearbook actually laments that there was only about 150 students that were actually actively involved in extracurricular activities, whereas the student body was about 1,005 or more.
Gosh.
You spoke earlier of kind of entering school and feeling that sense of, you know, the rivalry was ever present. It was just kind of always there. How frequently were the myths and stories of your school retold by seniors to incoming Victorians and Johannians? You know, did you hear people telling you things?
It's funny at St. John's because there's a morning and an afternoon session. So when you first go, and I think it's a shame because Form 1 and Form 2 is in the afternoon, and the rest of the forms in the morning. So you don't actually interact very much with the seniors. So
not so much.
Not so much, actually. It's a shame.
There was more. We only have one session in VI. So I think VI was very fortunate in that sense. It was big enough, and it was only a secondary school. I think it was the first school in KL that was purely secondary when they moved from the old premises, which was in Jalan Bandar, to the new premises, which is Bukit Petaling on Jalan Hang Tuah. So you did have these seniors around, and a lot of the societies, they would be there, so they would be mentoring you and so on.
What are some traditions that were there in your day that you know are still being practiced today?
I realized one the other day, which I didn't find at RBI, and it came back to me, is that the boys would greet us as we, if they passed us, they'd go, good afternoon, although some of them said good morning instead. They would say good afternoon, sir, you know, which was it was something that...
Johannians did? Always? Oh, okay, I noticed that as well, that all these boys were saying. Yeah.
So do they have better manners than the boys at
BI? Think we do. I think they're definitely...
We'll give them something, yeah.
How sorry.
That was kind of a nice sort of, except the first boy said good morning when it was afternoon. So. But it was nice to.
But I think both schools have the school songs, and people get a chance to sing their school song if they show up on Saturday. And that might help with the competition as well. So so learn up your school song before you come. Victorians out there.
Yeah, I think we're going to give them, we're going to give people a chance to contribute to the battle.
Ultimately, how formative would you say your days were at SGI and VI towards your outlook on life, the country, your career choices?
Well, I think for me, I'm really glad I went to VI because, like, both my sisters went to international schools. One of them actually did the opposite of me. She did primary at CBN and then secondary at Garden School. And then we did our A-levels in the UK and so on. And my younger sister did the whole thing because that was, you know, when the medium of instruction was fully Malay. And so I think her ties to Malaysia are much less. And I think if you don't go to school and you don't sing the national anthem every day or every Monday at assembly and things, your ties to the country become less. And then if your friends are from all over the world, you don't have, you know, like for me, I think a lot of the long-lasting friendships were forged at school and then they're still here. Or even if they've moved away, they still have this connection to the home country.
They still think of themselves as Malaysians.
They still care about Malaysia and what's happening to Malaysia. And they still, you know, and they still have parents that are here and they have to come back and visit. So it was almost like every other month there's somebody coming back to KL and then there's like a big reunion gathering and so on, which is very nice. But in terms of my career choice, I mean, I started life as a lawyer, but as one of the things I did in VI was public speaking. And I think that is something that, you know, I found that I had a way with words and I liked being up in front of people and speaking and so on. So I think that helped me go towards the law and also towards theater and drama.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, I think the unique thing about, and I think we realized it probably at the time, is being at schools like the kind of multiracial student body is actually,
yes.
you kind of,
We took it for granted.
We took it for granted that that was that we were Malaysians, and you know, if that's just a given. You know that you know. You
and that good. Has changed because I think something I noticed in VI when I went back is that it's very. It's it looked like it was about 80% Malay, so that sort of Malaysian feel was really not present. And talking to some of the people from the VIBA as well, they said yes, it's changed, and the student body is now very heavily Malay, so it doesn't. You know that Malaysian feeling didn't come across so much.
Definitely. But I mean, I still have friends. We had a reunion a few years back, but my best friend, when I was in St. John's, and we sat next to each other, and we used to argue all the time about all kinds of stuff. And we're still friends. And in fact, I had dinner a couple of weeks back, and he still has political views which are completely opposed to mine. But we're still friends, you know.
And I think that's a good time at which to kind of start getting those conversations going in school when you're still kind of getting your ideas shaped by the world. It's as good a time as any.
Yes. And I think the biggest takeaway from something like what you say is that you have to learn to agree to disagree.
Absolutely.
And to something rather different, Chaco, VI's current location on Jalan Hang Tuah, it was previously a Chinese cemetery. The fact that VI was used by the Japanese to torture during the war also continues to fuel its reputation as a haunted ground. Did you have ghost stories told to you? Are there well-known ghost stories in circulation when it comes to VI?
There was generally a feeling that, it was more, I think, the Japanese that they executed people there, they tortured people there. Although in my research, there's an article about myths about VI debunked, and that there's no evidence that such things happened, and that there were apparently some bodies discovered, and they said, oh, it's from the Japanese, you know, torture victims, but they're probably from the Chinese cemetery. After the Chinese cemetery, it was actually a golf course. It was the Bukit Petaling golf links before it finally became a school.
So did you ever hear the sound of ghostly golf balls being hit around before?
Not ghostly golf balls, but the boys' toilets, which was known as 206, are supposed to have been haunted. And so there's this whole thing about, you know, people are scared to go there at night.
It was funny because when we went to visit St. John's, you know, I was quite interested, you know, when we visited VI. We visited VI first, and we were told, oh, that's this area was apparently people have seen stuff here, and there's different things, and there's a tunnel apparently, there's the dungeon they go
every time. Yeah, the torturing used to happen.
What is this place?
And it wasn't really. And but when I went back to St. John's, I suddenly remembered when we were walking around, and suddenly there's the toilets, the boys' toilets in the back of school.
He directed me to the toilets and showed me female teacher's surau.
Which so wasn't there anymore.
Things have changed.
But the toilets in the court was actually behind St. John's Cathedral. And right next to it was the graveyard. And I remember now that I think it's a Malaysian thing. Toilets always seem to be haunted. I think when I was at ACS Klang, the toilets were haunted as well.
Haunted toilets are so much worse when they're right next to a cemetery, though, I think.
Or built
extra
over
scary.
A cemetery. I think your toilets were built over the cemetery, right? It was an extention. That's what they said.
And the new block was also, they exhumed some of the graves to build the new block.
So maybe Malaysian construction companies should just be more mindful of where they put the toilets.
Actually, the funny thing is when I was first approached by Bandar Morrison, Elizabeth Kandoza, president of Bandar Morrison, to do something, she first suggested doing a ghost walk. But when I was doing my research about KL and ghost walk, apart from VI came up, you know, one of the most haunted schools. But everything else was either crossroads or toilets. So, you know, a walk around the heritage of ghosts in KL would have been probably not much heritage, a bit dangerous at crossroads and a bit smelly.
Malaysian toilets, yes.
St. John's turned 112 years old 2 months ago. VI is 123 this year. Didn't expect that. Beyond surviving for over 100 years, what qualifies as heritage to you? You know, when you think of heritage, when you think of KL, I guess, what stands out? What makes it heritage?
I think I think because it's such a diverse culture, it's all kinds of things in KL, and that's what makes it interesting. You know, there's that's what that's what makes it unfortunately in danger of losing some of it as well. KL's not a very old city, but even in the short time, so many buildings have been lost.
Yes.
You know, even though it hasn't
and
got
beautiful
a very,
buildings, yeah. Even though it's short, I think we've had a lot of beautiful heritage buildings. So I think what gives it heritage worthy of being preserved, say, firstly, is, you know, whether it's a beautiful building just per se, and then it's just that it's been there for a long time, it's been used, it's done good service, and could continue to be of good service. And we just, you know, we've been working at the Badan Warisan, which is an old heritage house, one of these old colonial black and white houses, but the only one left on Jalan Stoner Conde area. And we're just surrounded by towering hotels and condos. And we're saying, you know, those hotels and condos could be in any city in the world, but this is uniquely Kuala Lumpur, you know, this house. And it's just saying, I hope at least this gets to remain where it is. And I think that's the uniqueness. KL's identity, KL's soul, if you keep removing that, you just become without identity and without soulless.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, I've always seen myself as a KLite. And sometimes I feel, you know, it grew very fast. So, and there are not many, actually, people in KL who are from KL sometimes, you think. And maybe they don't have the same feeling of the kind of, they don't know the history, they don't have the same attachment to it, and I think that's a shame. And it's you know, I mean, how can you get attached to a shopping complex? I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know. They say Ampang Park might go. I'm kind of a little bit sentimental about that, but
I'm quite sentimental about that because I grew up in Jalan Ampang, so that was like the ultimate.
I don't know.
If there's one thing to take away, I think people can get attached to anything from this. Okay, we've been bigging up the battle. Tell me about that. You know, what can people look forward to? That's happening this Saturday.
Oh,
there are two sessions. They're the same session. One's at 11 o'clock and one's at 6 o'clock, yeah. And it's at the Badan Warisan on Jalan Stoner. It's the corner of Stoner and Conley.
Yeah, and, it's sort of, it's not really a debate as such, but we have been given topics which we've been researching. And so the format's sort of partly a debate format, but then there are other...
And we're going to have Chegu Safia, who's going to be
our referee.
Beautiful, hot Chegu Safia.
Who's going to put us in our place if we get out of hand. Hopefully it will be informative and fun as well. And I think that sort of, like you said, you know, the about arguing and people debating about things. I think sometimes when we're kind of told that we shouldn't do that and shouldn't express our views, I think it's healthy sometimes, you know, and hopefully it'll be entertaining as well.
Yeah, and I think it highlights that we have heritage buildings of value, schools of worth, and we've lost some schools, notably BBGS and
St. Mary's
and Pasar Road School,
and there are quite a few in danger, and that's, you know, that's a
that's but not just schools, other yeah, buildings
other
as
buildings,
well.
Yeah, but they're quite good. There's some schools that are in danger of being lost.
Catch Datuk Zahim and Chako in action at Badan Warisan Malaysia this Saturday, March 19th, as part of the This Cool City program. There will be two separate hour-long sessions, as Chako mentioned, at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. And for more information, visit badanwarisanmalaysia.org and brush up on your school songs. Apparently, you might be called upon. Thank you both very much.
And places are limited, so you have to register on the Badan Warisan website,
which is www.badanwarisanmalaysia.org.
And it's free entry.
Well, it's been funded by, I think, City. And it's an initiative between Badan Warisan, MBRAS, a Malaysian branch of the Royal Asiatic Society, and Think City.
Thank you.
Thank you both very much. I've been speaking with Dato' Zahim Al-Bakri, Johanian old boy, and Chaco Vadaketh, Victorian old boy. They've been yelling at each other about St. John's Institution versus Victoria Institution today on Live and Learn. You've been listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.